reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the Gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the Gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they left their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. Jesus came to Capernaum with his followers, and on the Sabbath entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as their scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet. Come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him, and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Beginning of ordinary time each year, after we go through the long waiting for Jesus to revivify that holy desire, after we ponder the mystery of the Incarnation, Jesus' hidden life all the way up to his baptism, we begin with his public ministry so that what he did then may continue to bear fruit right now. And in these odd years, we start with the end. We start with the letter to the Hebrews. And in the longer passage we read today, because of the Feast of the Baptism yesterday, we get our coordinates for what we're going to be hearing over the next 3 weeks. Begins with what God says through his Son and the fulfillment of time. This extraordinary Son through whom all things were made, the creator of the angels, then takes on our flesh and becomes for a time seemingly lower than the angels. And that leads the author of the letter to the Hebrews to ask, with the words of Psalm 8, which was our psalm today, "Who is man that we would be loved so much like this by God, that God, for our sake, would come into our world in order to be able to redeem us, that he would become perfect through his sufferings, so that he would be able to lead us through our sufferings to perfection, because the redemption's never going to happen without suffering, because it's through the love that is purified in suffering that our desires are reset and renewed as they were before the fall." The letter of the Hebrews is going to describe how Christ, as our high priest, continues to do that work in every age. But we should never lose that extraordinary wonder of who we are in God's eyes and all that he has done in order to bring us to perfection. Perfection of charity, which we call the image and likeness of God. We call holiness. in the extended passage of the beginning of St. Mark's Gospel that we heard today. Again, we see exactly what that word of the Father in whom God says everything did at the beginning of his public ministry. Four great verbs in that first scene. Jesus came and he first said, repent. You're not who you're really called to be. Turn things around. Start to follow me, who am the way. Repent. Believe. Have faith. Build your entire life on what I'm going to teach and do. Third, follow. Don't try to set your own way. You'll only end up in a ditch. Don't try just to satisfy your own needs, because if you try to save your life in this world, you're going to lose it. Instead, be guided. Follow me. I have come into the world. I have become incarnate precisely to lead you all the way to what I have implanted within you to desire. Just trust in me enough. Follow me. And then if you're really following me, fish. I want to guide you in such a way that you will be my instrument so that others might know their great dignity. Who are they that God loves them in this way? So that they might turn around, they might believe, they might follow, and likewise may fish. That's how the church wants to renew us at the beginning of every year. To ask what ways in our life are we not conforming ourselves to the extraordinary dignity we have before God, the dignity that would lead him to do so much. About the ways we need to grow in faith. We do believe, but like that man at the bottom of the mountain, we say to the Lord, Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief, that there are parts in our life in which we're not yet fully living by faith. Because of fear, or because of self-reliance. And then follow. Follow not just on the outside, follow not just in general, but follow in the particulars of every day, asking where the Lord is leading in particular moments, and docilely following in those footsteps. Not trying to be like Peter was with regard to Jesus' suffering, and say, God forbid it, Lord, it should never happen to you, or it should never happen to someone you love. This shouldn't happen, and that shouldn't happen, and nor that. When Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, for you're thinking not as God does, but as man. How important it is for us not to try to lead God, as if we're God no better, but to follow him in all the little things of every day. And as we do so, then we will become his great fishers of men and women, boys and girls. That's the way we're going to be able to draw other people to join us on that pilgrimage of the repentant, of the faithful, followers of the Lord, all the way to that place where his glory in its fullness will be revealed. What is man that you have him in mind, Lord, that you care about him at all, not to mention that you've done so much? Once Jesus has called these first four to turn around from the paths that they were walking and with faith follow him along the path of fishing for others, Jesus takes them from the port of Capernaum into the synagogue. Just a little under 2 weeks ago, I was there in that synagogue of Capernaum on pilgrimage, meditating on the scene in today's gospel. Of how this possessed person was found in the synagogue. You know, it's a shocker for us sometimes to recognize that even those who are possessed by the devil can be in a state of grace. That they could be daily communicants, they could be receiving Holy Communion, because to be possessed doesn't necessarily mean that that person morally is in a state of sin. It's a great mystery. Father Gabriele Amorth gave many examples of that. And so I tend to think that there was a real battle going on in this person. The devil, of course, is the great separator, the great diverter, the diabolos, throwing somebody off course, literally. But yet this person had this inner magnet of wanting to please God, and despite all the enormous problems, shows up at the synagogue on Saturday. And that's when Jesus comes in. Devil can't stand Jesus' presence, and so begins to shriek aloud. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come here to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. The devil can't stand it. The devil can't keep silent. Just being in God's presence is a torture. So much is the orientation of the devil to separate from God. And Jesus, in the midst of this service, says, "Be quiet, come out of him." Jesus exercises right there. Similarly, there are times in which we come into the Lord's presence. We might not be fully possessed as this poor man was, but we may have parts of us in which the devil is slithering around, got a stranglehold. The deeper magnet implanted us by God still draws us here. But there's part of us who would rather be any other place in the whole world than in adoration before him. Parts of us who would rather be in our bed rather than vigilant and alert for the coming of the Messiah. Parts of us that would rather separate and do our own thing rather than unite in a loving, self-sacrificial, suffering communion. But the same Lord who, out of love for that man, freed the man from the power of the devil, wants to do the same for us by our cooperation. And he's got the authority to do it. So great is his dignity that he has everything that he needs in order to restore us to our dignity, to triumph over all the works of the devil, including his discouraging us, his drawing us into sin. Today, as we come forward, Jesus wants to do this work so that he might restore us to our full dignity, help us to turn around, live by faith, and follow him all the way until that place where God's image and likeness in us, the perfection of his charity and holiness, will be radiant forever. Jesus continues to teach and act with authority for our sake, for our dignity. So how can't we, with wonder, cry out, "What is man? Who am I? That you never forget me. The Son of Man, that you care for me." Let's receive now the summit of the Lord's loving care.